Today, we're introducing my favorite collop. I love this every year. I love this collop. It's my favorite collop, proper 28 in the Book of Common Prayer. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our blessing and our learning, excuse me, to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I love the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. This exhortation and longing prayer stirs my heart. Sometimes in church service, I like to put down my bulletin and just listen to what is being spoken, to think about it, to hear and to read. One of the greatest gifts God has given me is my love for reading scripture and the many, many times of reading scripture. I read the Bible from cover to cover many times. I love the narratives. Sometimes I read the Bible like a prayer, reading it to God and with God, Lectio Divina, or holy reading, praying scripture. The reading entwines with the heart of God, and it's like we become united through the scriptures. Scripture is a wonderful thing. Several years ago, a few years before Naomi and I became Episcopalians, we got hold of the Book of Common Prayer. We started reading the scriptures listed in the back of the BCP, the Daily Office Scripture Readings. And our lives were very busy, and I was working in sales management. Naomi was the CEO of a refugee resettlement agency. And when we left in the morning, we'd not see each other until later in the evening. We found our best time to read the Bible, have prayer, and discuss the day together was early in the morning. We decided to read all of our readings for the day, both morning and evening offices, at the same time in the morning. And this had been our custom for many years. But we made some adjustments with our morning readings, thanks to the BCP. Two things I like about the daily office readings. One is that it's like sitting down to a well-balanced meal. We always start off with a psalm or two, read an Old Testament passage or from the Apocrypha, and then a New Testament passage followed by another psalm or two, and then the gospel reading for the day for dessert. Kind of like a well-balanced meal. Another thing I like about the daily office readings is the emphasis on the Psalms. Technically, if you do all the offices, morning prayer, noon Eucharist, evening prayer, special services on Sunday, you will read the entire book of Psalms every 4 weeks. However, if you're just reading the daily office every morning, you will go through the entire book of Psalms every 7 weeks. I have a favorite Bible. I've always had favorite Bibles and markup, and I use it just for morning devotions. And I've got it heavily marked up, but it's like a devotional material for me. It points me to God, and it's color-coded with no overall method at all, just marked up, especially the Psalms. There's some Psalms I just love, but there's some Psalms that I just do not like. Those Psalms have no marks on them at all. I read them, but sometimes I tell Naomi that I don't want to read that Psalm for the day. Can we just go to the next reading? There are just some Psalms that have nothing that I want to think about. I do love it though when they come to the Psalms of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134 every 7 weeks, or Psalms 1, 2, and 3 every 7 weeks. It's kind of like visiting an old friend, dropping in at a scheduled time. And the old friend is expecting you, not a stranger, a guest. And it's just wonderful. It's the same way with the Gospels, reading through Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, and then the epistles, the letters in the local churches. Then there's the Law, Moses, the Pentateuch, the historical books, the prophets, the wisdom literature, Job, Psalm, Song of Solomon, Sirach, Tobit. It's wonderful to go through them every year. We just read Revelation. That's not one of my favorite books, but I enjoy Revelation 22 and 23, the narrative about the city of God and the heavenly Jerusalem. It's powerful reading, and I love pictures of paradise. I highlight promises and meaningful scriptures with a highlighter. I read the passages. I think about them. I meditate on them. I digest them and inwardly and try to make the truths of scripture apply to my everyday life. I memorize many passages of scripture, and those verses come back to me from time to time as they're coming back to me in this sermon. And at other times, the scripture motivates me to study with an inquisitive mind. I want to know who wrote a particular book, or in the case of New Testament letters, who wrote this message and why was it written? We study to know the context of scripture, the when, the where, the why, and the how. What kind of writing is it? What language was it written? And does the language of the text reflect the language of the time of its authorship? Is the New Testament letter written to a specific church, or is the message that's to be read and passed around to other churches? For example, St. Paul's letters to the churches are unique to what was going on in those particular churches, things that needed to be corrected and things that they were to be applauded for. And what can I take away from the reading and to learn and apply to my life? The continuum of interacting with Scripture is important to me. Holy Scripture is a gift that just keeps on giving. I've studied other religions. In my postgraduate work, I did a lot of study that included visits to different faith practices. What I gained from how those other faith practices approach the religious beliefs is an awareness and appreciation of our faith traditions. The rich traditions and ongoing practices of Christianity. I love Scripture. And I'm driven to consume scripture daily, just as the Israelites gathered manna daily as they traveled in the wilderness. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. 1 Peter 2:2. We're encouraged to desire sincere milk of the word, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. And I'm reminded of that beautiful invitation in Isaiah. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Hearken diligently to me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself. I like what the old King James says. Delight itself in fatness. Or another translation, in abundance. In fulfilling all things with the food of the word. We're not only called to hear, to read, to mark, and learn scripture, but we're exhorted to embrace it and to hold it fast. In other words, do my best to apply the deep meanings of scripture into my life daily. The Holy Spirit resides within us. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. So Jesus, don't think I'm out on the deep board here all by myself. We're called temples of the Holy Spirit. And we are encouraged not to be weary in doing what we think is right. Our faith is in a living and it's a living and a vibrant faith. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Our children's Sunday school teachers have a twofold mission. I've always encouraged them, Sunday school teachers. I love our Sunday school teachers here at St. Albans. To teach children the stories of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Teach them to the narratives. Give them a working knowledge of Scripture. And the second mission is to point children to Jesus. To appreciate and understand that we are a people of the book. We're also a people of the person of Jesus Christ. We want to impart desire, a deep desire for Scripture, to learn and apply those Scriptures in our lives. What does it mean to be a Christian? What are the benefits and what are our responsibilities? Amen.